Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Spiegel at home.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score. And not just kidding.
Afternoons on the Score.
It's also really difficult to assess when you think about the way Wrigley Field played this year. Just the run scoring environment in general and Wrigley was very low, and that's something we have to look into a lot. The challenge with that is that it's the weather.
The weather. That's what Jed Hoyer has been saying about the challenges of Wrigley Field. He's made a lot of interesting choices lately.
Jed said all that stuff about the weather at the end-of-year press conference. This week offers us a chance to hear from Jed again, and we will. It's Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. And we'll listen to Jed talk about Cody Bellinger opting back in, and we'll listen to him talk about the offense and what he liked about it, but and such in a minute or two. But I know you wanted to comment on a big piece that was in The Athletic, where Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney collaborated as they often do, on what is seemingly a pivot, or at least a bit more of a push within the Cubs organization for data, for research and development, for analytical models as guidelines for moves. And that move is away from certain amounts of humans, human scouting. And they've gotten rid of some scouts, and they are joining some teams around the league in not sending scouts specifically, Lawrence, to the high AAA levels and the minor, the major league levels, because they believe that they've seen enough, having scouted them earlier on in the process and now having so much access to technology at a lot of these spots. And all AAA stadiums are outfitted with the same exact tech, pretty much, that teams can access and use. And Major League stadiums have the same tech that they can access and use. For instance, they didn't go to Tampa or send scouts to Tampa to check out Isak Paredes. They felt like they knew Isak Paredes well enough. And I certainly am troubled by a couple things that you can miss in that regard, but I know you've been itching to talk about it, so give it to us.
I mean, look, I want to hear your perspective on this, because my reaction to it was, what? Like, I get that you want to try and streamline things, and it feels like it's a cost-cutting measure, which really bothers me. And when you start taking away some of that human element, it also allows you to act like, well, this is what the algorithm taught us. Like, I don't like the precedent that it sets and what it allows for specifically this particular Cubs front office. I think this particular Cubs front office has been trying to sell the Cub fan that they are trying to do all of this stuff in the margins. And this feels like the total, like, it's them completing that mission of, well, look at us. Like, we're so hip. We don't even need actual people to do the scouting. And because of the lack of people doing the scouting, it makes me worry about accountability in that regard, too. of if you're just putting it on the eyes of the people that are watching the videos, there's just so much that you can miss about a player. And I don't, if I'm them, I wouldn't be holding up the Paredes thing as a victory. Like, I wouldn't, if I'm them, I wouldn't be like, well, we totally didn't scout Paredes. Maybe you should have.
Well, Paredes had a rough time for part of it here, and the belief is that with a full offseason and a full spring training as a member of the org and having some personal comfort and getting to know a few more people, that it'll make a difference. So, yeah, that's not one necessarily to hold up just yet, but he's a good player and a really solid bat, and we'll see what he does next year. But in terms of the overall, yeah, man, it's scary. I don't like this idea that by the time somebody gets to AAA or in the majors as a part-time player, that they're fully formed as a person.
Correct.
I don't like that at all, because people can react to prosperity, to being told to wait at AAA when they think they're ready, in a way that reflects on them as a human. I'm thinking very specifically of a player that I heard a lot about in the minors from a minor league broadcaster. And I heard that this, you know, potential superstar was just somebody who didn't really give a crap on the daily level. Like, it was just waiting to be called up. And he has been in the majors. And if you're watching his career so far, you see some moments where you're like, oh, man, that dude doesn't seem to be getting the most out of what he has right now. But maybe he still will. And maybe he still will. But if you showcase some of that stuff at AAA, I mean, maybe the Cubs think they knew stuff like this about that particular player before he reached to AAA. Maybe they think that they can learn that stuff before. But, man, you got to find out if dudes are bad teammates. You got to find out if dudes don't care on the daily. Yeah, and you got to watch them go through their work habits. I mean, if something gets screwed up, do they have teammates that come over and talk to them about it? Or have they ostracized their teammates already to the point that they get left alone on the bench? I mean, those kind of things matter, as well as watching, you know, the work habits where the cameras don't catch. So it's a tricky thing, because here's the deal. Nobody leans into the analytical models and the R&D more than the Dodgers. They have the biggest analytics department in baseball, but they also send scouts to everything. They don't skimp on that part of it at all. The Dodgers send scouts to everything. The Yankees send scouts to everything. The Rays send scouts to everything. The Astros send scouts everywhere and have not skimped on that in terms of the major league, the high minors level. Some other teams have. Cleveland has. Cleveland just went to the ALCS and had a very good year. Carter comes from Cleveland. It definitely feels like they're willing and trying to be Cleveland and perhaps Milwaukee without some of the human touch that has never left the Rays and, of course, the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Let me share a couple paragraphs with people just so they can be up to speed on this. And this is from Sahadev Sharma, who wrote this in The Athletic. The Cubs are actively interviewing prospective candidates and looking for new talent in spaces such as R&D and player development, on top of the investments and the hires already made in their effort to find and develop international talent. However, while some areas have seen growth, others are being scaled back as a result of the Cubs' shifting emphasis. In the amateur scouting department, one high-level scout was laid off while two others left the organization and weren't replaced. In player development, the Cubs axed a group of five senior staffers who had combined for roughly 200 years of experience in professional baseball. The biggest change has come in the Cubs' pro scouting department, which has been drastically reduced. In pursuit of what Hoyer has dubbed the next great Cubs team, most of these recalibrations amount to leaning further into a rational, emotionless strategy that relies on an analytics-based model to evaluate players. It's a model-based approach that the Cubs have drifted towards in the aftermath of 2016.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and some of that is a little scary. You know, they're still going to have college scouts. They're still going to like think about that stuff when it comes to the draft. Cause the story I always think of is Stan Zielinski, the college scout, genuinely jumping on the table and saying that Kyle Schwarber is Babe effing Ruth. He's the one who said it. And then they were like, oh, well, this guy really thinks so. And then they looked at everything, but they really took his opinion to heart and started to believe it. And now at this late point in his career, every team that Kyle Schwarber is on praises him as a human and being a massively important part of good teams, not just because he crushes baseballs, but because of who he is as a human. That stuff matters.
But the crushing of baseball also matters.
Yeah,
like the
for
fact
sure.
that you can for pencil sure. him in for 40 home runs a year, yep. that matters too.
Yep.
And so like it's, I just feel like this current front office of the Cubs is trying to be too cute by half in everything that they do. Like they're so desperate to be ahead of the curve that they end up falling behind it and then chasing it. And that's what they're doing here. I hate that they don't. I would prefer that they act more like the high revenue generating teams in Major League Baseball. And they seem fixated on, what if we were the Rays? Well, what if you were the Rays and spent money? You'd be the Dodgers and you'd win a World Series. That's what bothers me, that everything is, well, we got this new thing that we're going to try doing. And
I think I hear you. I think what they're going to try to do is be Cleveland, but spend money. And by spending money, I don't mean to the Dodgers and Yankees and Mets stratospheric levels. They're going to try to be Cleveland and also spend money like they spent on Dansby Swanson, and they're going to spend on a pitcher. I think they're going to get a big starting pitcher for more than $100 million this coming offseason. I don't think they're going to get an offensive player like that unless they make a big time trade. But if they make themselves more like Cleveland, but also spend up towards, you know, 200 mil, 210, 220, 230, go over the tax every once in a while, I could see where that can work. But they're not going to be the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Mets.
You still need to find the right guys to do that. And I am not convinced that this version of a Cubs front office can do that. And I think it's partially because, like, the idea of, well, let's get 5-4 win players, and that'll equal what we would get if we had like a Juan Soto. But they don't seem to value the idea of, if you have a 6 or 7 WAR player and he's only eating up one position, that puts you in a better position to be successful, and it allows for there to be some regression by your 4-win players that puts you in a bind over the last 2 seasons where those guys got close to their numbers at the end of it, but even at their 90% as Jed is wont to say, mm-hmm. they still ended up with you being a team that only won 83 games, and that's not good enough, and it shouldn't be good enough.
We're going to have a lot of time this offseason, and I look forward to it, talking about, you know, how you build a team and what that philosophy is and a lot of the specifics. They're clearly counting on PCA to be a hopeful real contributor from moment one. They're counting on Paredes with that full off season in spring to be comfortable, counting on the Dansby that you saw in the second half of the year. And I think Seiya Suzuki as your full-time DH, as Cody Bellinger has opted in and is going to play a lot of right field. And that means your outfield defense is going to be great. Let's listen to Jed Hoyer, who talked at the GM meetings about the offense in the second half, and see if you hear the weather reference.
Most of this gives us clarity. I think now we know what our roster looks like, and now we can go about building the team. So I think before that, there's some uncertainty, and now it adds clarity. And spend the next 4 days talking to teams and talking to agents and getting a feel for the market.
Assuming the roster is what it is right now, he's clearly your best defensive right fielder, probably. Have you had a conversation with Seiya that he would mostly be the DH like the end of the season? Where are you with that?
Yeah, it feels premature on that. But yeah, I thought Seiya did a great job when he was DHing. We didn't have injuries down the stretch, but you know, I think anytime you just have depth at a bunch of positions, you know, you lose an outfielder, and all of a sudden having the ability to slot a guy like that in is really nice. But you know, Seiya had a great year. I think he was top 10 in the National League in OPS. obviously Cody's our best defensive right fielder, but certainly I think Saya is solid and it has room to improve.
How much more creative do you kind of need to be now to look to improve the lineup, offense in general?
Yeah, always. I think we're looking to be creative, find if we can find value on the margins to be able to do that. But yeah, I think that I think you're always trying to be creative, and I think there's room for it this year.
Does it feel like the position player group is largely settled and focused on pitching, or is it?
Yeah, unclear. I wouldn't say that yet. I was really pleased with how that group played the second half of the season. I thought our offense was good. Our defense was good considering the wind. I thought we produced well. Obviously, we went for a long stretch of not producing, but I felt like things settled out a bit more. Pete played better in the second half. We solidified the third base position. Some of the other guys played better, so I felt like it was a productive group in the second half, but certainly looking to improve.
Hey, Lawrence, they were 8th in MLB in OPS in the second half. That's pretty good. 6th in the National League in OPS in the second half, especially considering the wind.
The wind.
Why do you have to drop in the wind? Just say that you were happy with the second half. You can make that case. You don't need to tell us the wind was an issue.
I had asked Ian Happ about how the ballpark was playing a lot, so it is good to get confirmation that it was playing differently than most people expected. I've already heard Jed Hoyer talk about it too much. Already. And I don't want to hear it anymore. I want him to get back to, building a big boy baseball team. I want it to feel like what it felt like when the Cubs hired Craig Counsell. It hasn't felt big time since then. And now you're talking about the wind. I don't want to hear it.
Hey, man, they were going against the wind. See an old team running
against the wind.
Yeah. I listen to the wind and it falls far
great
below.
Song.
Thank you, Les. For God's sakes, thank you. How would you feel? What if I told you that they were going to give a 31-year-old left-hander who has a 6-pitch mix and gets a lot of ground balls and some strikeouts and has been really, really good for an excellent franchise for multiple years, that it had some John Lester vibes to it without the World Series dominance that he was lucky to have? But what if I told you Max Fried is going to be here for
5-160?
Five at 160, something like that. They sign a $150 million pitcher for multiple years. Yes, it gives you 3 lefties with Shota and with Justin Steele at the top of your rotation. But I actually like that better than Corbin Burns, whose velocity has gone down steadily over the last 5 years and his swing and miss has gone down steadily over the last 5 years. But Burns feels more ace-like, obviously. And it was terrific in Baltimore, but I think Fried is going to age really, really well.
Yeah,
so I like that idea.
You've built a team that is very strong defensively on your infield.
Yep.
So if you have a guy that is throwing a lot of ground balls, that plays into the hands of Nico Hoerner. Wait a minute. Speaking of hands and Nico Hoerner, we don't know if Nico Hoerner is even going to be ready for the beginning of spring training. And he told us that when he was on the show earlier in the week.
Then you got options. Matt Shaw could break camp with the team, or James Triantos could break camp with the team, or Bellinger could play first, and Michael Bush can play some second. Put Saya back out on right, or you put Owen Casey in right, who's got a chance to break camp with the team. Some of these kids are going to matter from the get-go.
Saya, by the way, DH 59 games last year.
Yeah.
So, and he didn't. Let me go look at the splits here to see what he did.
That's his best position. And I think the offense is better and the defense is better when Saya is your full-time DH. I don't like trusting him out there in right field. I don't like it anymore.
Slash line?
Yeah.
As a DH, 298, 386, 461, 846 in 262 at-bats.
Yep.
So you don't have to worry about, some guys need to play the field to – to be engaged offensively. It doesn't seem like he's one of those dudes, and you're making your defense better by taking him out of the field.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to put him in left, because that's where you ideally would put Saya. I think he'd be a fine left fielder. He's not a good right fielder.
Yeah, Ian Happ is up there with, like, the greatest Cubs defensive players of all time in terms of multiple gold gloves. Like, he's behind Sandberg and Grace and Maddox. I think that might be it in terms of multiple gold gloves with his three in a row. It's some vaunted company in the history of the franchise. But yeah, I think barring a big time trade for a superstar, Vlad Guerrero Jr., and we'll have time to talk about that. But hopefully some conversations get going here at the GM meetings. But I share your disappointment at the shift away from scouts. I share your disappointment about that.
Why don't we live in a little bit of musical joy?
Let's do it, man. Absolute legend, absolute icon, and a Chicago treasure. And it's a pretty amazing American life. And you got to figure out if there's a sports comp for a life like this that we need to talk about. We'll do it next on Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
You know, America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Never in my life ever done music for money or fame. Never, and never will. Because God walks out of the room then, and it's not sacred anymore. And it is sacred, you know, because to me, melody is God's voice. It's clothed by lyrics, but melody is God's voice. That's the power.
I mean, complete and utter icon, genius, 28 Grammys, a primetime Emmy, a Tony, nominated for 7 Oscars and 4 Golden Globes, known as a jazz trumpet player early, and then a band leader and a conductor and arranger, and then a producer of like everything and a writer of everything, and a Southside Chicagoan whose family moved up here in the Great Migration. That's Quincy Jones, who just passed the other day at 91, Lawrence.
36 in Prairie. That's where there are people that are actually leaving flowers outside the house.
Wow, that's cool.
Of Quincy Jones and him. And it's so apropos that he was born of Bronzeville at that time. It makes all the sense in the world because of what that neighborhood kind of birthed as far as literature and music and style and like all of the things that came from, man, folks who were making their ways up from Georgia and Mississippi and Tennessee back when Quincy Jones was born.
That's so cool. And at 20, he's a trumpet player and he travels the world, and he said it like opened his mind and opened his soul. And he ends up as the musical director for like big time people and ends up getting hired by Frank Sinatra. Super, super young, in his 20s, hired by Frank Sinatra to be the arranger and like the producer of this thing that Sinatra did with Count Basie, a couple records, and this Sinatra at the Sands with the Count Basie Orchestra, as conducted by Quincy Jones, is one of the greatest albums of all time.
One town that won't let you down, it's my country.
I mean, it's just, it's so unbelievably great, that whole thing. And he said Sinatra took him to another planet. And then he ends up doing, what is it, 40 different movie soundtracks and unbelievable amounts of television stuff. This is roots. I mean, he composed and arranged this.
There are so many things that he's been a part of that, as people go through some of the eulogies on Quincy Jones, that they're like, wait, what? Like, yeah. I didn't know that that was Quincy Jones. I didn't know that when I'm watching the bride get angry and kill Bill, that that's Quincy Jones at work, you know?
That's Quincy. That's awesome. How about the funkiest TV theme in the history of history? The Sanford and Son theme, instrumental. Oh, come on now, man. This is the baddest ass television theme of all time. And there's an extended version that is so worth listening to where they just keep on playing. It's the best.
And him in TV too, where he's the person. Have you ever heard the story? Heard Will Smith tell the story of being convinced by Quincy Jones to do Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
I have not, because he did that theme as well, of course, but more.
He said that he was at his house and he had all the NBC people over. And he said to Will, he's like, well, here's your opportunity. Like, I'm going to set up a read for you right now with the head of NBC. And Will was like, I don't know, man. I'm not feeling that. And Quincy was like, you're going to do this, man. Like, I have set up all, you can do it, and you can have them, but they're all here. All the people that need to make decisions are sitting in that room. So go take 10 minutes, get yourself together, and get out in front of those people, wow. And it changed his life.
Absolutely changed his life. And Quincy just did a million things, produced The Color Purple, the movie, Strawberry Letter 23 with the Brothers Johnson, Yamo Be There with Michael McDonald, but maybe most known for this, and we'll go out with this medley of incredible Michael Jackson stuff from Off the Wall and Thriller, as produced by Quincy Jones here on Spiegel & Holmes on The Score. That's so great, man. And Quincy, as a producer, could call anybody. His idea to call Eddie Van Halen and say, come play on the Beat It song. You know, he could call anybody, Lawrence.
His middle name was Delight?
I did. His father was Delight. His father was Quincy Delight Sr. and was a semi-pro baseball player.
How great is that?
So, so cool. A lot more meat on that bone to have a conversation about. R.I.P. Quincy. We got a trip coming up, young fella.
We do. I actually brought my Circa cap, and I can't wait to talk with Derek Stevens about that and talk with you about our trip. That's next here on The Score.
Derek Stevens, you are the man here in Las Vegas.
Derek Stevens, he's the owner of Circa Hotel and Casino.
The busiest man in downtown Las Vegas. It's a close race between you and the mayor.
The D. Is it Derek? Is it downtown? Is it Detroit? What is it?
You hit all three of them. You're exactly correct.
What other casino owner hangs out at the bar?
Nobody.
We love his suits. Love his outfits.
Eric Hosmer.
And I'm also a huge fan of Circa and Derek and everybody over there. If you got the connection for the suite, then I'm with it, man. Let's go. We got a deal.
The Blackhawks come back to us, and then they say, we're going to finally put a jersey patch on an original six sweater.
Wherever Derek is where I'm going.
You're going to be a Stadium Swim, Legacy Club, the sports book. This is going to be awesome.
I can't go to lunch. I've got a meeting with Derek Stevens. Well, he's living on a farm next to Roger Waters.
I'm Derek Stevens. Welcome home.
I'm not only legitimate, but running a casino. And that's like selling people dreams for cash.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
It's so great when we have the opportunity to talk with Derek Stevens, and we're going to get to see him personally later on this week. It's much appreciated, Derek, that you would join us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. How are you doing?
Excellent. Great to talk to you, fellas. I'm all fired up. We're ready to go. The beer will be ready. The pools will be warm. And we got football. I can't wait.
You have done a wonderful job creating this connection between Illinois and Chicago and The Score specifically with Circa and Stadium Swim. I mean, it's the only pool open year-round in Vegas, and it's just, you know, everybody's going to be dying to get out there and feel it on this show. We cannot wait. And it's going to be comfortable, right? The pools are temperature-controlled, so we can all get out there in our suits, even if we're hitting, what, high 60s on some of those days?
Oh no, we're gonna be sweltering. We're gonna have a great time. Temperature is gonna be perfect. The sunshine is always great in Vegas. So no, we should be all set. And then we got a lot of great football coming up. So we should have a lot of fun this weekend.
And the beautiful thing about Stadium Swim is that even if it is a little cooler air temperature, you get double sun because you get the sun bouncing off of the building as well as the direct sunlight. So you can go out there and get a great feeling of getting all of that sunshine right there for you at Stadium Swim.
And the sports year-round, man, obviously Bears and Blackhawks and Bulls, we're going to be digging it, but with the full NFL slate, what do we get at the sports book and on Stadium Swim screens this weekend, man? Tease us.
Yeah, it's going to be a full set. I mean, we got extra time, too. Remember, we got that early game in Munich here, so we're starting. We like betting football at 6:30 in the morning, Vegas time. You know, we'll be ready to go. We got a full 12 hours on Sunday. We got a great slate on Saturday. We got hockey going. We got NBA going. You know, it's kind of a perfect time to be able to come and check out Vegas and check out Circa.
Yeah. How's Circa Survivor going, Derek? How's the craziness of your football season going with everything?
Well, it's been something. You know, this year was a little bit crazy. The first 4 weeks of the year knocked a lot of people out. We started with over $14.2 million worth of entries into Circus Survivor, and the first 4 weeks were rough. But the last few weeks has been a little bit more normal. Last week we got down to 151 remaining Circus Survivors, so that's after week 9 of the NFL. We got a couple more weeks before we jump into the gauntlet of Thanksgiving Day, Black Friday, and then Thanksgiving Sunday. But we're down to 151. So for the 151 smart, intelligent, and lucky Circus Survivors, they are feeling it right now. I know that they're all feeling it.
And the halfway mark of the season is usually where you can kind of get all of us that aren't those guys out of this whole thing. You've told some great stories about how this works at the end when you get to the end of the Survivor. Do you think there's going to be some team-ups once we get to under 10 people involved in this thing?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's naturally how it evolves every season. You know, I think right now the 151 remaining Circus Survivors, not everyone knows one another. You know, we're currently in the process of filming our second year of our documentary. So it's called Circus Survivor, The Quest for $14.2 million. And what we're seeing is more of the remaining Circus Survivors are showing up on Sundays. They're kind of hanging out in my spot in the sports book. Some are willing to do media. Some are not, based upon superstition. So whatever they like to do. But it's pretty amazing how people are slowly getting to figure out who's still in it and who's not.
Yeah, we can't wait to hang out in the sports book with you, man, and just assault the senses in the best possible way. How's the Blackhawks partnership going with the jersey? You guys are on the home jerseys. That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, you know, we had an opportunity to work with the Blackhawks, and when that opportunity came up, we took it pretty seriously. To have the opportunity to get your company's logo on an original six on frankly the most iconic sports logo in the world. We didn't take this haphazardly. You know, we wanted to respect and revere the Blackhawks logo, and to be able to do a deal, you know, in a state where we just really launched less than about a year ago now with Circus Sports in Illinois, and have the ability to do something with the Blackhawks, it was pretty awesome for us to be able to work the deal out. So for us, we're very respectful of it, and so far so good.
Derek, I imagine with Circus Sports Illinois, there are a lot of Bears fans who have been using the app and trying to will the Bears to some wins.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. But will is the one thing. I mean, it was a tough Sunday a couple Sundays ago. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a young team. A lot of opportunity ahead in the future, but boy, oh boy, what an ending in that Commander game! Just crazy.
Yeah, that must have been hellacious for the sports books. It must have been a crazy turn of affairs and change of money in the final seconds there.
Yeah, I can tell you, Circus Sports, we were Bears fans that day. That didn't work out all that well.
Oh, that's too bad. That's too bad. Well, Derek, we're going to come make it better. We're going to bring the love. We're going to bring the good vibes. We will be there on Thursday night doing shows out there Friday and Saturday and Monday. We cannot wait. Thanks for having us, and thanks for being the destination for Chicago and Scoreheads that you have become, man.
Hey, I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to it. I will tell you, I can't believe how many people come up to me at Circa and say, hey, I heard you on the score. Or,
man.
We love the fact you built a place for people from Chicago. I mean, we really did. I mean, with the sunshine, the sports books, it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to watching Thursday night football with you guys, and then we'll have a hell of a good weekend. So can't wait to see y'all.
Sounds good, man. Thursday night's a good one, too. Thanks. It's Derek Stevens, and he really did. That was the vision, Lawrence. Like, you know, because it's a tale as old as Vegas. Like, get a relationship going and get the junket going with a specific city or a specific demo, and he targeted the score with that, and it's worked out quite nicely. And this is what, the fifth trip for the score? Maybe more? Seventh? Ninth?
I mean, this is my third.
It'll be my third, maybe.
Yeah, I think this is like my fifth or sixth alone.
Wow, it's probably my third, or maybe even fourth.
This is my fourth trip to Circa.
So,
and I got to tell you, I was done with Vegas until Circa. Like, I was absolutely like done with it.
I know that feeling. Like, I get that feeling on the third day of every time I've ever been there. Pretty much,
and maybe
the fourth day.
And Mitch was like, "Well, have you been to Circa yet?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm." And he's like, just go out there. So I went out, I did a Vegas Phoenix trip, and I went to Circa, and I was like, that place is amazing. It looks like Avengers Tower. Like, it really looks like Tony Stark built it.
Yeah.
And it's right there downtown. I'm usually there, or I'm at the craps table at the D, which is also a lot of fun. It's in a perfect spot. And that double sun on a 65-degree day will be perfect at Stadium Swim.
So, look, the four of us need some show bonding. We need some team building, and I think a late night or three at the Legacy Club. For me, with a cigar going late night in the comfy chairs with that incredibly good view. Boys, you up for it? Oh, I mean, we need to,
are you kidding me, Spigs? I am going on the plane dressed in proper attire because they have a dress code up at the Legacy Club. I'm going to go on the plane to Vegas dressed properly, so I can just drop the bags and go right up to the Legacy Club and have the smoked old fashioned first, uh-huh, like in the lobby there, but then go up to the Legacy Club and have all the bourbons.
Kenny is foregoing plain comfort.
Yes.
For 4 hours. He's going to wear club attire on the plane for 4 hours just so we don't have to lose 10 minutes of changing in the room to get up to the Legacy Club. And I'm doing the same thing, brother. Foregoing plain comfort too, because Circa Legacy Club has the best whiskey selection I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like a wall full of whiskeys and bourbons and scotches, as high as the walls can possibly go, is outrageous.
Outdoor fireplaces, views of the strip. It's a heavenly place.
I love that it's basically directly in the route of all of the helicopter tours that do Vegas. So, like, all you'll see is helicopters, like, coming back and forth, and you can see all of the beautiful buildings from that perch. It's really awesome.
You can see the sphere there, too.
100%.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm doing the sphere. Me, you're doing the sphere for the Eagles on Saturday night.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. The Eagles they're elderly, but they're still sounding pretty damn good, man. And Vince Gill, the young guy, I think he's like 62, something like that.
I saw Vince Gill live at Taste of Chicago when I was like 3 years old. It was one of my first concerts.
He is an incredibly great musician.
He's the best.
He's the new Glenn Frey in the Eagles, revitalizing. But yeah, Lawrence, we're going to hang. We're going to have donuts. I'm sure you have scouted the best donut places in Vegas.
Yeah, there's a couple places that are actually pretty close to Circa, to tell you the truth. Nice. But I have an advantage over you guys.
Start?
Yeah. Because I'm leaving here at like 6 on Thursday, which will put me in Las Vegas. And
at like 7.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that kick in Munich there?
Dude.
6:30 a.m.
I'll meet you guys out
Sunday.
There at Stadium Swim.
I'll be in the pool already. Let's go.
I actually might do that. Like, I had forgotten about the Munich game until Derek said something. And I'm like, that might be the move.
Just speaking of showing up in Vegas regardless, the one thing I'm looking most forward to is that stretch limo pickup at the airport with the full bottles in there just waiting for us. Tanny, we're getting a head start. Okay.
We need to talk about the quarterbacks and where ours is standing right now with the other rookies in the NFL. And if anybody in the NFL actually knows how to do this, we touched on it a little bit in transition. And there's another Bears topic we'll do later on in the 5 o'clock. Some meaty and important NFL and Bears stuff we need to get to, Lawrence.
Yeah, we got to talk quarterbacks, though, in the next segment, and whether or not you're seeing development and what development looks like. We will do that next here on The Score.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.